This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we go to the hospital to attend a cooking class taught by Jefferson Healthcare's celebrated executive chef, Aaron Stark. So now, let's go inside the Compass. Once every fortnight on Monday evenings in the wintertime, the faithful file into the cafeteria at Jefferson Healthcare Hospital to hear their guru speak. It's a practice at once spiritual and gastronomic, with expected benefits in both the physical and aesthetic realms. For every 2 weeks in the cold season, when he's unable to perform the rite at his preferred venue of the PT Farmers Market, Jefferson Healthcare Executive Chef and Dietary Director Aaron Stark conducts a free cooking class for all comers in the hospital's cafeteria. KPTZ Compass was present at the most recent such event, an occasion on which Chef Stark was hobbled by an arm injury incurred at the beach while tussling with his children. I interviewed Chef Stark as his acolytes gathered at the surrounding tables.
How long have you been doing these classes?
I've been doing these classes for about a year now. So in the spring and summertime, I do demos at the farmer's market, and people want to do it, and it's just one of those things that I love to do. So wellness through food is what it really comes down to. So it's pretty cool stuff. I enjoy it.
So. About how many classes do you expect it'll take before the sum total of all of your knowledge about food is expended and you have nothing more to say?
See, I'm always learning about things, so it'll never stop. My hope is that at some point in this community that we come across a community culinary resource center, which is a big kitchen, preferably out at the 304 building at Fort Worden, that has got a teaching kitchen, it's got a practical hands-on kitchen, and it's got a huge refrigerator freezer unit that people can make use of. Not to mention a huge culinary library. We'll be in the foyer, right? All the cookbooks. And it'll meet, I think, what this town is missing, and that is a place where parents can learn about feeding their kids healthy diets. And then the whole spectrum kind of creeps all the way over to visiting chefs from all around the world to come and show what they know how to do. I think we took a wrong turn at Albuquerque in the 40s, and we need to get back there and really expressing ourselves through food rather than the fast food, you know? And here, being the hospital chef, we think about the positive things that food can do to people's health. So people always give me grief about why so much kale. And we say, because it's good for you. So, yeah.
Now, why the huge freezer units? I mean,
the idea is the refrigerator freezer unit would be more or less like a food hub. So if you imagine, at the end of every farmer's market, farmers have all this produce. They can either take it back or they sell it for the cheap. But how about if there was a situation where you were actually taking that food, the farmers were bringing it, getting a good wage for that food, getting good compensation for that food. Then that food was then taken, and with a voluntary army of people loving learning how to cook, they could manipulate that food, and that could be the food bank, that could be home health hospice patient recipients getting this food. I think there's a way to go about it, a processing kitchen that'll process it and have fun with it, you know, so a big fat kitchen.
A couple of months ago, I was down at an event that it was all the farmers getting together, yeah, and talking about holes in the food system,
yeah,
here,
sure,
and actually refrigeration,
yeah,
and processing kitchens,
right,
were, you know, two, yeah, of the things that people really mentioned needing the most. So I'm wondering whether that was kind of coming out of those needs as well.
Actually, there's one more important factor, and that is us being a tourist town, which we are, whether we like it or not. Port Townsend is a tourist town. We see a huge influx on an annual basis. I think 1.5 million people pass through Port Townsend on their way somewhere else. They're all looking for something to eat. And the number one problem for any restaurateur in this town is skilled labor. So people that actually know how to wash dishes, people that know how to cook. And I see it as like a remedy to that is teach kids how to cook. Then when they get out for summer break while they're in high school, they've got a viable job that's ultimately becomes either a career choice or a life skill. So I'm going to get on with these guys. You ready for it? Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Hello.
It's been a crazy couple of weeks. So bear with me. Figuring out what I was going to talk about tonight took a lot because my arm's all bunged up and I got to do something where I'm not chopping and sawing on things. So I thought about it and we sparked on the idea last session. We talked about, I don't know why, we talked about baked brie. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it's such one of those wintertime old school, boy, it'll make you fat kind of dishes. But if you don't like eat the whole brie, if you share it with a group of friends, then it becomes something special, yeah? And as long as you take a walk afterwards, right? But I do know that, you know, cheese has a lot of calcium, protein. There's some good things about cheese. Not to mention that here in Jefferson County, we have not only one, but two award-winning cheese producers, yeah? So you've got Mountain Townsend Cheese that does a beautiful camembert. Even their curds that we get serve on the salad bar here are just beautiful. So a local creamery here making cow's milk cheese. But even more than that, we've got Mystery Bay out in on Maristone Island that I think the second year out of the gate, they won a national first place award for, I think it was their black pepper and thyme chef. So is goat cheese, and they are super serious about making great goat cheese. And I always see, when I say goat cheese, people often give me that like look of goat cheese, and I say, go try Mystery Bay's goat cheese, because it's a wonderful thing. So tonight, the expression isn't to tell you all about cheese. I just want to show you how to have fun with some cheese. But when asking the question of like, where does cheese come from? It's been around so long that no one can really pinpoint what happened. But I'm going to tell you a little story, and it goes like this. There's some guys out there, and they've got milk, yeah? And they got to travel, so they're like, what are we going to put this milk into? So one of them decides, well, how about we just stitch up one of those stomachs, and we put our milk in that, and we use that as like a canteen, a soft canteen to travel with our milk. So we have something along the dusty trail. And what happened, just as many things in cooking, it produced something that was like, I'm not going to eat it, you eat it. I'm not going to eat it, you eat it. And what it was, the rennet in that stomach lining made cheese out of the milk. So it separated the whey from the curd. And they must have sat down and said, well, I'm really hungry. And they realized that, boy, this isn't that bad. So throughout time now, I think there was an article I read 7,000 years ago, they found a cheese strainer in Poland. Yeah, which is kind of a crazy thing. But Egyptian pharaohs are buried with cheese and all sorts of other things. So it's been around for, yeah. Cheese has been around as long as there's been milk. There's 2,000 or so different varieties of cheese. Which one do you think is the most popular?
Cheddar.
Parmesan.
Where? Mozzarella.
Brie. Mozzarella. Mozzarella is the number one. But it seems like every country has its own staple. I mean, we take cheddar seriously. But so in the vein of, I don't want to tell you all about cheese because there are people well more qualified than myself. I want to show you how to have fun with some cheese. So I'm going to start out baking a brie. Can we? All right, here we go. So we don't really have a local brie, but what we have is a local camembert. It's a Cirrus soft ripened cheese by Mountain Townsend Creamery. Yeah. It comes in this fun paper. I've always loved this paper. It keeps it kind of moist. All right. So in my mise en place for this baked brie, what I have is I've taken dried cranberries, dried cherries, and dried blueberries, and I've rehydrated them with some red wine. You can use port. You can use all sorts of other fun liquids. But essentially what I'm doing is I'm pouring a little wine over that fruit, bringing it to a boil, and just letting it sit. So it sucks up some of that wine, but it also rehydrates the dry fruit. Okay? All right. The first thing I want to do is take my camembert. We're going to cut this cheese along its equator. So I'm just going to take this knife, and this is a serrated knife, and I'm just going to go through the cheese, trying not to break it up too much. See if I can do it. My arm's feeling a little out of it, but that's okay. Look at that. All right, so now that I've cut my camembert on the equator, yeah, I'm just going to come over here and I'm going to stuff it with some of my dried fruit. Can some of the juice get into there?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? It's going to be a wonderful thing. And I want to stack it to the point where fruit wants to come out, all right? And then I'm just going to grab on that, make sure it goes back just nicely, like so. And being that there's so many of you here, I'm going to make three of them. Can I do it? All right. Again, camembert, pull it out of this fun little paper. Yes, ma'am.
What's the white?
The white is the rind, and that's what I was getting to. So the first time I had camembert, my mother took off the rind of the camembert. So I was just like, wow. This stuff is num-nums. But then you get this affection for the texture of the rind. I would say definitely eat the rind of the cheese because it's good stuff. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And in this, I think it helps keep that. We're going to encapsulate this in puff pastry. It's going to keep things nice. Okay, so right now in front of me, I've got my little cutting board. And I've got some dried fruit. That's blueberries, cherries, and cranberries. And I'm just stuffing this camembert that's cut along its equator. I'm just gonna press it right into it. Sound good? All right, so there's that. Now, who has ever messed with puff pastry?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it's layered. So you have your dough and a layer of butter, dough, butter. And what happens is when that dough heats up, the moisture within that butter causes the evaporation, so it puffs it up. So that's where you get those layers of puff pastry. Yeah. So this is so simple. I almost feel like if I didn't have a bunged up arm, I'd feel bad because you probably know how to do this, right? So first technique I'd like to share, I've seen people put your flour on your table and they go like this. Yeah. That doesn't do it for me because you're just dropping the flour right down on the table. What I like to see is kind of like you're like, hey, poof, right? So you want to get that flour and just scooch it along the top of your table, yeah? So it's just shooting it across the table. It's not like playing poker or what's it like slinging dice. All right, puff pastry. This is a frozen product. You can buy it at grocery stores, which is kind of cool, but at a grocery store, the quality of puff pastry is they fold it up. And that crease in the puff pastry is a booger sometimes to mess with. So I don't like to mess with that much. Again, I'm just gonna get a little bit more of this flour. And I'm sorry for those gluten-free folks out there. Now, so I'm just gonna put my camembert, AKA and or brie. And what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna cut an outer circle and I'm gonna match the height of that brie. Does that make sense? So the margin I'm doing around my camembert or brie is gonna be the height of that, okay? So there's my circle. Everybody see it?
Yep.
Super cool, mate. So what I've done, I have my two camembert stuffed with fruit, cut down the equator, sitting on a round of puff pastry. I'm gonna reserve that excess puff pastry because I'm gonna get funky with it. Sound good?
Okay.
All right, now, here we go. Over in this here little bowl, what happens when you crack an egg, whisk it up with a little water, is you make egg wash.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's pretty vital to this dish because that's gonna help stick it and shine it and do all sorts of things. So the first thing I wanna do is I'm just get my little pastry brush and it's a chance to get all flourly and eggy and it's super fun. So I'm just gonna hit that round of puff pastry with my camembert, just those edges. Now here's where the trick comes. Has anybody ever made wonton dumplings or pot stickers. So the dough folding that's in that is pretty cool, and it takes a little while to learn it, but once you get it down, you can crease that dough really cool. So there's my egg wash. All right, here it is, right? I bring one edge up and make sure it just tips over, right? While I'm holding the edge, I'm gonna make that crease. Do you see it? Super cool, right? And then I'm just gonna keep on going around like that. Like that, you see that?
Crease and crease.
Crease and crease.
Crease again.
And crease again. Sound good? The objective is to get all those air pockets out, all right? So I'm just gonna roll it around, I'm gonna push it down. Doesn't that look cool? Yeah, I'm gonna do this one next. And then we'll go on with it, okay? All right, here we go. That latte is starting to kick in right about now. All right, so there's that. Now, the trick is this. You know how in most brie or camembert come in the little round box?
Yes.
Yeah, and you're kind of like, this is cute, what could I use this for? Well, you could use it for cutting the top out. But me, I've got one of these. And this is a Matfir number 85 biscuit cutter. Now, the one thing that I don't have is a rolling pin with me because I wasn't planning on all this, but I want to use it. So I'm just going to stretch that dough out by hand because I can.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
If you don't have a rolling pin, what can you use?
A jar.
A glass, a wine bottle, you name it, right? So I've got over here, because we're talking space age, cool things that have happened in recent years, I have a silicone pad. You could use a parchment paper, it's fine. But I like these silicone pads. They've been around. They're kind of like a cool thing to have in the kitchen. You can use them over and over and over again. In fact, we have a sheet pan that just has, it just lives on it at home. All right, so I've got my two camemberts. They've got puff pastry around. They're stuffed with rehydrated fruit, yeah? And what I'm gonna do now is I'm just gonna slightly just hit that with a little bit of that egg wash along the sides too. That's gonna make it all shiny and brown up pretty. Eggs are amazing things. Tomorrow I have a demo for a bunch of school kids talking about eggs. So that we're just gonna sit and we're just gonna cook a bunch of eggs.
Are your chickens laying, Aaron?
Yeah, my chickens are laying. They're going nuts. It's like, you know, this is the time of year when the chickens start laying, all I can think of is egg pie. Yeah, quiche. So how many quiche can you make? There's a book right there, right? Quiche. All right, here we go. So I've got that. I've got my lid that I've cut out with my biscuit cutter. Yeah. And I'm just gonna put that on top of it, like so. I'm really just gonna press that in. Nice, handsome lid. You like that?
Yes.
And then this one, we'll see if I can get another one out of it. Yeah, look at that. But you see all these little scraps of puff pastry?
Yeah.
If you've got any artistic kind of thing you wanna do, you can do all sorts of things. Which one should we do on this? I have a little paring knife here. Should I make some leaves and some little berries on top?
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Let's do it. So if I just cut a leaf shape out of puff pastry, yeah, and just use the back edge of my knife, the back point of my knife, just to kind of give it that, the veins of the leaf going through, it's so sassy. Yeah, and then again, it's all, you've got flour puff pastry with a little bit of egg wash. Look, I'm just gonna hit that over the top, and then you can drape it any way. Imagine
it just fell out of the sky.
And then a little berry or two.
Yes.
Just get a little puff pastry. I don't know, it's just so cute, right?
It is.
Just a few little berries happening, like so. There's all sorts of fun things you can do. All right, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna stick these in a 400 degree convection oven. Okay, and while that's going on, I'm gonna show you something else to do.
Okay.
Cool, here I go. Do they look cool or what?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Woo! All right, here we go. You ready to see the next one?
Yes.
All right, so we are playing with cheese today, ladies and gentlemen. and I have with me in my possession a hunky-dory induction cooking surface. Never seen that one before, huh? So the one thing I'm gonna watch out for is my smoke alarms.
Right.
Yep, but we're good. So I'm gonna light it up. All right, for this one, I have a nonstick pan that is receptive to my induction cooker. That means that a magnet sticks to it. Yeah, so if you're wondering, oh, we've got our new induction cooking surface. It's a 6-burner range induction. It's digital, it's infrared, it's all that good stuff. How do you know that you have the nice pots and pans? You just take a magnet off your refrigerator and say, oh, that one doesn't work, this one does. You know, it's fun as a cast iron pan on one of these things because the thing just lights up and it isn't concentrated, it's sort of in the middle. The whole pan heats up evenly and it's super neat. Yeah? All right. So we talked about the 5 flavor points, right? The taste. What are they? Anybody know?
Sweet, sour, salty,
bitter, salty, and umami. Yeah. So if you ask me, where do I get the most umami? Well, soy sauce is a huge giver of umami. I just love saying that, umami. But how about Parmesan cheese?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, sure.
Have you ever had Parmesan cheese and you've eaten it and you almost taste like little crystals inside of it?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this is so flavor, savory flavor. All right, this is a spatula data. It's a stingy. You know why they call that? It's a rubber spatula. They call it stingy because you want it all. Yeah? Right here, I have some shredded Parmesan cheese. Yeah? Just your garden variety Parmesan cheese. My pan is nice and warm at this point. Watch this. If I take a 3-fingered pinch or 4-fingered pinch and lightly just put that into my pan like that and just spread it around, make a nice little circle within my big pan. I didn't have a small Teflon pan, or I shouldn't say Teflon, I should say non-stick pan that would do the trick. I don't know what happened to it. Someone got it. But if I just do that and I crank my heat up a little bit, so what we're looking at is a round circle in the middle of that pan of a slight layer. It's probably, it's at most 3 shreds thick. So it's just sitting there. And what I can see, it instantly, since my pan was hot, it's instantly wanting to stick to that pan. And it's cool. You know why? This is a non-stick pan. Yeah? So when you say, ooh, Parmesan cheese tastes good. Parmesan cheese tastes so much better when it's caramelized.
Yes.
Yeah? When all those natural occurring sugars get caramelized. And it's something that will blow your mind. Right? And it's also a good way to look really cool at a dinner party. Ooh, that's sizzling, isn't it? Anybody want to check it out?
Oh,
see what that's doing?
Yeah.
It's just all just like, it's bubbling. You can see the fats are starting to separate. Yeah. And actually that fat that comes out of there, have you ever burned your finger?
Yeah.
Have you ever burned your finger, then burned it again?
Yeah.
Have you ever burned your finger, burned it again? That's what you're doing with this. Because has anybody ever worked with pulling sugar? Yeah? You're talking about burn. You're like right at the edge of, oh my gosh, my hand is going to explode into flames. It's like, I cannot believe, but you go home at night and all your fingertips are red and blistered. And I can't believe I did this to myself just to touch that molten sugar. I just can't believe it, but it's happened. This is kind of in the same vein because what happens when you start handling that cheese, the oils all stick to your fingers. And it's the oil that's stuck to your fingers. And now what's happened is that all the oil has separated from the cheese of the solid in the pan. Yeah? And you can see where it starts to turn like a nice golden brown. Yeah? All right. So the idea here is that what we're going to do is we're going to make a Parmesan cornucopia. Believe it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go. So I used to make these things. I used to work at this place called Le Clos. Had a French master chef work for him, Bernard Goupé. Yeah? And he used to have us make these things, and we'd make like 50 of them a day, because after a day they get soft and don't work that well. But you used to have to make them, and then we'd weigh them down with a little bit of a thick, like a remoulade onto the plate so they'd stay. And then we build the salad so it was cascading out of it. It looks so super cool. All right, the stingy. Be super careful. This will burn you if you're not careful. What I'm going to do is pick it up and put it down on the other side. You got me?
Yep.
Here we go. So remember how I told you that the oil likes to stick to your hands?
Yep.
So what you can do is when you pull it out of the pan, look at that. It's getting there. But after a while, your hands just get used to it, and they don't burn as much, you know, and you're just like, oh, I got hands of steel now, right? But so what you have to do, I'm going to turn this off. While it's still hot, I'm going to grab it in the middle. I'm just going to do one of those funky folds. I'm going to press it in. You got me? And then as I just let that set up right there in my hand, as it cools, oh, look at that.
Splinter it into a cone and put it into the ramekin.
It looks so cool. Yeah. So if you can imagine having that on a plate and then a salad cascading out, it's still pretty hot. So I got all this hot oil. When you do it, I used to sit back there in the kitchen, go like that, do it, And they were like, why are you doing that? Well, I think that it's getting the oil off my hands, but more importantly, doing that hurts more than the burn. So, oh yeah, that feels good. So yeah, I'd be back in the kitchen like, You'd hear me, and they'd all laugh at me. What is he doing? Oh, he's making tuiles back there. But Parmesan tuiles are a very, very cool way. Definitely first date material. Okay? Yeah. So I'm going to go back there because I think those are ready. And when I bring those out, everybody's going to be like, oh, ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Is it done?
It's not hard to make puff pastry look super cool. Yeah, it's not hard, but look at that. Just be like, woo, yeah, it's super hot. I'm gonna put this down somewhere safe, but it needs just to rest just a tad, okay? Our camembert is baked in on coup. Just to think, and I'm all gimped out too. My arm's all.
I'm impressed with you now.
See? The one-armed cook.
Jefferson Healthcare Executive Chef Aaron Stark teaches his free cooking classes at 5:30 p.m. on alternating Monday evenings in the hospital's cafeteria. The next class will be on Monday, March 5th. This is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. KPTZ is embarking on an ambitious plan to expand our news operations in order to bring you daily news updates and more in-depth feature stories like those you hear on KPTZ Compass, and we're looking for help to make it happen. Volunteer opportunities range from preparing copy for newscasts to becoming a newsreader to editing and production work. If you might be interested in joining the KPTZ news team, please drop us a line at news@kptz.org or stop by the station at the Mountain View Commons and fill out a volunteer application form. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.